More than a dozen national environmental groups have voiced strong opposition to Gail Norton's nomination as Interior Secretary. They are backed by some 200 grassroots organizations that claim her public stance against federal environmental regulations make her unfit for the job. Her supporters praise her for advocating local control, and they say she will bring an innovative free market approach to the federal agency. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold has that report.
Armed with poll numbers, television and radio ads, a National Press Club news conference, and a website, SayNoToNorton.org, the environmental community launched an aggressive effort to derail a nominee they claim is completely unsuitable as steward of some 400 million acres of public land. Carl Pope, executive director of the Sierra Club, says Norton's legal work over the years reveals a firm belief that environmental protections are a federal intrusion.
Her views are so far out of the mainstream that she will be asked, when she takes the oath of office, to swear to uphold an entire series of laws, statutes, and regulations in which she does not believe, and which she, in fact, believes are unconstitutional.
Pope and a score of environmental groups have scoured her record and cite her opposition to federal laws such as the Surface Mining Act, which provides for reclamation, her call for the elimination of the Departments of Commerce, Energy, Education, and Housing, and her challenges to the Endangered Species Act as evidence that Norton has extremist views that will override her responsibilities as secretary. Greg Whetstone of the Natural Resources Defense Council says, quite simply, she's devoted her career to undermining the agency she's been nominated to lead.
As Colorado's Attorney General, she expressly refused to defend the state's racial preference laws in court, forcing then-Governor Womer to hire an outside attorney to handle the case. On the other side of that case was the Mountain States Legal Foundation. Given the choice of defending her state and the laws passed by its people, or aligning with her mentor, the former Interior Secretary Jim Watt, she chose Watt.
But a review of Norton's career reveals a somewhat less than clear picture. At 46, with less than a decade of service in elected office, the record is hardly substantial. But there's a consistent thread through her speeches, legal briefs, arguments before the Supreme Court, and testimony on Capitol Hill. Norton is a staunch advocate of local control, private property rights, free market-based solutions. In short, she has a healthy dislike of anything federal, whether it hurts or helps the environment. She's taken on Washington from her early post-law school years at Watts Mountain States Legal Foundation, where she worked to file suits against the EPA over clean air rules, and as Colorado's Attorney General to give the state the right to enforce its stricter cleanup standards at the Army's Rocky Mountain Arsenal. She serves on the board of Defenders of Property Rights, which lobbies Congress on behalf of property owners facing government regulation, and the Independence Institute, a libertarian think tank run by John Caldera, who says she's being demonized by the left.
She was hired by James Watt, therefore she must be James Watt. Well, that logic just simply doesn't apply. And the really sad part about it is these people are going against a potential good friend.
But among those fighting her nomination is Martha Marks, the founder of Republicans for Environmental Protection, who say she and others in the GOP are baffled by the pick.
And I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, well, gee, isn't Republican environmentalist an oxymoron? The nomination of Gail Norton, to put it mildly, will not help.
Libertarian Caldera says Norton is getting a bad rap, and some of the attorneys general who worked with her on the tobacco settlement agree. She's described as a fair-minded listener who works across party lines.
When you look at Gail's career here, she ran for Senate in 1996 and lost in the Republican primary. Why? Because some people felt she was too moderate. Here in Colorado, in private practice, she works for a largely Democratic law firm with great ties to the Clinton administration. She worked very closely on the tobacco settlement with the state AG's offices. So you find somebody who can work with a variety of people on a variety of issues. This is not a single-faceted woman.
Indeed, during her tenure as Attorney General, Norton worked with Democrats and Republicans on a range of issues from gasoline pricing to antitrust enforcement. Still, throughout her career, throwing off what she sees as a yoke of federal ownership and mandates emerges as a passion. She makes no secret of her desire to give mining, grazing, timber, and oil interests more access to public lands. As Jerry Taylor, who specializes in natural resources at the Cato Institute, puts it, that's why she was picked. But Taylor says that doesn't mean she's out to undermine existing law. For example, with regard to the Endangered Species Act, he says she simply advocates a different approach.
Gail Norton is a strong proponent of private property rights, which means that she believes that when people are told they can't use their land for this or that purpose, but that they have to leave it fallow to protect the habitat of endangered species, that that's all well and good, but if the government's going to do that, they got to pay for it.
Free marketeers like Taylor say it's a carrot instead of a stick approach, the same approach Norton would use to confront other issues, from grazing fees to forest management. Terry Anderson, a 20-year colleague and friend who suggested Norton to Governor Bush, heads up the Political Economy Research Center in Bozeman, Montana. He points to a controversy close to home, a Clinton administration proposal to close Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks to snowmobiles.
I think that Gale will hold the agencies accountable for their decisions. And in the case of the snowmobile ban, I think Gale is going to take a careful look at the science and ask, are these machines really as bad as they're alleged to be? And if she then concludes that they are, I think she will work with the snowmobile community, producers as well as riders, to encourage them to find better machines that don't have the pollution problems, if that's a problem.
But from snowmobiles to the creation of national monuments, from the Endangered Species Act to opening up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, Norton's detractors say they're on the side of a majority of Americans, and she is decidedly not. Deborah Callahan of the League of Conservation Voters cites a recent bipartisan poll.
81% of voters believe that tougher environmental enforcement and stronger environmental laws are needed. By contrast, only 3% of the American public said that the current laws protecting the environment, enforcement of those laws, are too strict and need to be relaxed. The nominee to head the Department of Interior agrees with 3% of the American public. That's the margin of error in our poll.
But those who know her best say while Norton will bring change to the Department of Interior, she's no extremist. And there are some who remain open-minded about her nomination. As secretary, she would preside over the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and Native American leaders are optimistic her commitment to local control means she'll defend tribal sovereignty. They plan to meet with her this week. Anderson, who along with Norton advised Governor Bush during the campaign, says he believes she shares the same goals as the environmental community, but that she simply has a better way to achieve them.
Gail is a reformer, not a revolutionary. That is not dismantling Interior. She's not going to try to get rid of the Endangered Species Act or privatize 1 acre of land. She will find ways to reform the agency and leave us with both fiscal and environmental integrity.
Norton's confirmation hearing begins on Thursday. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.